Thank you for listening to this recording of Family Bible Church's Sunday morning message. We pray that God will use this word to bless and encourage you.
So good morning. If you take out your Bibles, and we're going to jump quite a bit ahead in Luke for this morning's teaching. So we're in Luke 23 this week. Yeah, you did. Pastor Bob covered a lot of ground. If you missed it, you know, you missed a lot. So. But we're going to jump into the account of Jesus' crucifixion. And so we're in Luke 23, and we're going to start in verse 32, and I'll read down to about verse 46, I think. So Luke 23, verse 32. There were also two others, criminals, led with Jesus to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the king of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading from his word this morning. You may be seated.
So clearly, I am not that short, and we did not catch that up. We have the privilege of having Bob and Karen Schneider with us today. It's a joy to have Bob, and so I shared this in Sunday school, and I mentioned that I would share it here as well. For those who don't know this story, years ago, and we were debating how many years ago that was, I haven't got a still didn't look it up, so years ago, we were praying as an assembly where the Lord would have us partner in missions. So this is before we grew, and we were looking for our real first missionary from that perspective. And so instead of just having missionaries come in, tickle the ears, and decide who we're going to give money to, we just start praying that God would lead us into what part of the world he'd have us partner. And so through prayer and through time, we got kind of moved into the Caribbean. And then through other ways, anyways, I come up with Bob's name. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. And so one day I called him up on the phone, and we had a conversation. And so, and in that conversation, it was a great, we clicked immediately. And at the end of the conversation, Bob said, "Well, sounds like you all need to take a trip down to find out if we're really it." And so I went back to the church and mentioned it to the church, and the church sent Marcia and Anna and Andrew and I down to Puerto Rico to check them out. And so instantly we went and painted a house together. So Bob has a ministry of, and he mentioned it in his testimony earlier about going and helping them fix a roof, and said he does a lot of home maintenance as a way of getting contacts with people. And so we went and painted a house while I was down there, and as a way of contacting. And so we've clicked ever since. And so I consider Bob a friend from that perspective. We've talked on the phone at different times, and he's just, if there's one thing I can say about Bob, and this is for real, when I was down there, I've never seen an evangelist before that moment. Bob's an evangelist. It's just natural to Bob. You've heard me say I'm not an evangelist. It doesn't smooth. It doesn't go smoothly out of me. I watched Bob evangelize two women from Minnesota in a cafe. It was just total natural. I just started a conversation, and it just started happening. And he grabbed it. In 5 minutes, he's hearing Jesus. And I'm thinking, it doesn't happen with me that way. I mean, so I'm excited for Bob and Karen to be here. So, Bob, come on up.
Wanted to say thank you. A lot of our churches have been supporting us for 35 years since we first went. You guys have been supporting us for about 8 to 10. And it was just before, I think it must have been about 5 years ago, because it was before Maria, the hurricane in Puerto Rico, that we were at the camp. So anyway, thank you.
And we went into that new building.
Huh?
And we went into your new building.
Okay, yeah.
So within that time.
Yeah, right. Good. Anyway, wanted to recognize some friends. We have Donai. Donai is actually born in Switzerland, has been in the States for a long time, missionary in Africa for a number of years. And she lives in Savannah. She was in our church about a year and a half. She's a violinist. Are you playing tonight? No. Okay.
I didn't bring my violin. I didn't know.
Okay. Yeah. And then also Matthew and Laura Bigelow, knowing you guys for what, about 30 years? Long time. Good friends from Spain, and we were over in Rota, Spain. So anyway. One more thing is that there is a sign-up sheet. If anybody would like to receive our prayer letter, just write clearly your email address back there, and we'll do that, okay? It is 7 after. What time am I supposed to finish up?
Noon.
We'll be fine. We'll be fine. Okay, good. All right. Hey, let's pray, and we'll start. Yeah, Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for this time, God. Lord, would you please just bless our time this morning. Use your word, use these things, and that you would teach us and that you would help us, God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let me start off and say my goal is not that we finish today and you say, wow, that guy is really good looking, because that's not going to happen. Okay? Nor is my goal that you say, wow, he's really interesting, you know, or he's a good speaker. Not really my goal either. But you know what my goal is? My goal is that you would share Jesus Christ within this next month. Okay? And what I want to do this morning is I want to give you some tools to do that. Now, please don't tell me this. Okay, I can put myself down. Please don't put me down. All right? So in sign language, which I could not learn because I was too old. Okay? So this is an L. And if you do this, it means lento, which means slow. So that should be my name. Okay? Lento, because I'm slow. And the thing is that, I mean, if you can ask me a question or I have to walk into a situation where I have to discern something, I'll give you the right answer probably in half an hour or tomorrow, something like that. My wife helps me. She's quick, but I'm slow. Thank you. Okay, right. And so what happens is that, so there's been so many times I'm with somebody and I say, I want to share the Lord. I don't know what to say. You ever had that happen? I don't know what to say. And so I have some memory aids. I have some things that help me. So this morning, I would like to give you 3 memory aids that you can use, you know, that will help you when you get into that moment and you say, what do I do? What do I say? So that's what we're looking at this morning. Now, we're going to run through this first one quickly, and then we'll come back to it. So we just start off with the hand. And the reason I use the hand is just because it's there. Because remember, a lot of times I just kind of freeze up. And, what do I say? Oh, share the hand. So here's the hand. I start off with, it's off. There we go. So we just start off with the thumb. And I talk about Jesus. And the thing I talk about Jesus is that Jesus was, he was loving, he was great, he was perfectly holy. He never sinned. Okay? He never sinned. And then I go on, we're going to go over this later, okay? He never sinned. Then I go on and I say, hey, yeah, but what about me? And that's my index finger. And I am a sinner. And that is crucial. People need to know that they're sinners. That is just the core. They must know that they're sinners. Now, I then go to the middle finger. I mean, what it is, as you all know, we only stick up 3 fingers because we say Jesus died between 2 thieves, okay? He died on the cross, and he rose again, and he took our sin. Now, I then go on to my ring finger. Okay, I'm going on to my ring finger. How much did this ring cost me? Any idea? $5.99, right. This is actually, I think, $19.99 or maybe $35. My original, it got caught on something, and I had to cut it off before I lost my fingers. So I went out and bought this $35 ring. But most rings are given to you by your spouse, okay? And so that's just a reminder that salvation is free. And then there's just one more point that we're going to go to, and that is that you become small. You humble yourself. Okay? So once again, we're walking through that. We're going to walk through it again. But they're just reminders to me. I start off talking about Jesus, and then I look at me. And it's easy with a guy, because all I have to say is Jesus never lusted after a woman. Okay? That nails basically every man out there. Okay? And then we go to Jesus dying on the cross. He took our sin, and then salvation is free because that's that ring, and then becoming small. And so that's just one of my memory aids, because I get into the moment and I say, oh, what do I do? Oh, the hand. Okay, and this is where I'm going. I want to share the hand. By the way, if I have an opportunity, I will lead a Bible study with somebody, and I say to people, you teach me. Okay, you teach me. So I'm going to talk about Marina a little bit, but Marina's mom and dad are both pastors, okay? And she is not a believer. And so we were talking, and I'll share that. But this last time when I was in Dallas, because she's given me an IV, and I finished up and I said, Marina, would you be willing to just study a part of the Bible and teach me? And what happens is that it puts it on them. It doesn't mean that I have to be an interesting Bible teacher. It puts it on them. They're the ones that have to study. They're the ones that have to think it through. And it's just been a very effective means. And to my shock and amazement, she said, yes, I would like to do that. And I was like, oh, cool. You know. So I texted her. I got her number. I texted her. And I said, hey, when can we do this? You know. So we're working on that. I will probably see her a week from Monday. I will be in Dallas and getting some more treatment. Bible says this in 1 Peter. He says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. And you get how Peter is very exact? He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. It wasn't in Gethsemane. He himself bore our sins on his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. Okay. Now, here's another memory aid that I have, and that's just simply, why are you going to heaven? Now, I've got a man in my church. His name is Pepper. He just started coming out of the blue. He's probably in his late 70s. And, you know, Pepper told me, he says, I have been a wicked man. I have done many wicked things. In fact, one of my other guys almost went up to New York to turn himself in because he had broken the law and the statute of limitations hadn't run out. And we talked about that. But it was interesting because I said to Pepper, I said, I think it was later on in the conversation, I said, why are you going to heaven? So here's Pepper, who just told me that he's done a lot of wicked things. What did he say? I'm a good person. It's just always so shocking to me. Some of these people who are not good people, yeah, I'm a good person. Or here's another one. This is what I said to Dennis, I think, the other night. I said, if God said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? I tell you, they don't have a clue. You know, I don't know. And it's just common questions. So these are some memory aids. I don't know if you're writing any of this, or maybe it's in your handout. But folks, the thing is that when you get to that moment, you want to have some things that you're able to say, because it's so easy to freeze up. And so it's like, why are you going to heaven? That's just an easy one. Or if God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Here's something I found also, is that evangelism is a process. You don't win the people. You don't win people to Christ, you know, normally the first time. It's very rare, very rare. In fact, the rule is when people get saved, it takes at least 7 times for them to hear the gospel. So evangelism is just a process. And here's the thing. I want you to be part of that process. You know, you can invite someone to church. You can invite them to an outing. You can talk to them. You can pray for them. Whatever. Open your mouth. Do something. But it is a process. And I just want to go back and look at this concept of being good, because Paul says this. For talking about the Jews, he says, they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to what? Yeah, I'm a good person. Yeah, they just crucified Jesus. And you ask him the next day, why are you going to enter the kingdom? And they'd say, oh, because I'm a good person. I've kept all the law. I've done everything I need to do. Okay, so let's go to a third memory aid, and we're going to spend some time with the thief on the cross. This is our third one. What was our first one? The thumb is? What about Jesus? Yeah, he's holy. And this one? Yeah. And the third one? Yeah, I died on the cross between two thieves. Yeah, he took our sin. And this one? Yeah, it's a free gift, right? That wedding ring, right? And? Right, we become small. What was our, that was our first memory aid. What was our second one? Yeah, why are you going to heaven? Yeah. So the repairman came to work on my TV the other day. And I asked him this one. The thief on the cross should have gone to hell. Why did he go to heaven? And he said, by the mercy of God, the same way we do today. And I said, good for you. Okay. I asked that to a guy who was came to my house. He's helped me put a timing belt on my van. And I asked him the question. You know what he said? Totally ignored me. Didn't answer at all. And that's the way some people do. Let me tell you something else about evangelism. You won't always do it right. You won't always have the right words. You won't, you know, you do what you can. You just do what you can and you leave it in the hands of God. Let God do it, you know. Sometimes you think you blew it and later on it, you didn't. Sometimes you think you did it right and turned out it wasn't the right thing to say. Thief on the cross should have gone to hell, so why did he go to heaven? Say it with me. The thief on the cross should have gone to hell. Why did he go to heaven? Okay, good, 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 good. So let's go back to Marina. This is interesting. So I said to Marina, the thief on the cross should have gone to hell, so why did he go to heaven? And she said, nobody goes to hell. Okay? That's an answer. So here's what it is. Remember, I'm slow, but you know, this takes an hour to get this to get these IVs, so I had some time to think. And so we were kind of chit-chatting back and forth, and I said, Marina, do you have any daughters? She said, yeah, I've got three. I said, so God just lets anybody in, right? Oh, yeah, he just lets anybody in. So I said, if a guy came to rape your daughters, what would you do? You just open up the front door and let him right in, right? She said, no, I'd kill him. She said, I'd never thought about it. And that's when Marina started thinking. Interesting. Yeah. When I was on my way home, I was not feeling well. Heavy metals affect you greatly. A lot of times don't feel well. And I'm sitting beside this guy. He's an old guy. He had to have been at least early 60s. Okay? So, So I'm sitting beside this guy. And, you know, I'm just, you know, you're just sitting there, and he, you know, the way he's dressed and all this kind of stuff, and he's just watching the girls, as you know, he's watching their rear as they go by, you know, my goodness, oh, how am I going to talk to this guy? So, you know, we're talking, and he says, so what do you do? Now, normally when somebody says to me, what do you do? And I say, I'm a pastor. You know what happens in that conversation? Oh, it's dead. It's like, it's over. That's it. And I thought, it's over. Yeah, I'm a pastor. Oh, really? I go to church. I love it. I said, you got to be kidding me. So we're sitting here talking. He says, yeah, the pastor. He goes to a mega church. He says, yeah, the pastor was talking about, you know, salvation. And I thought, boy, he doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and the guy was excellent. And he says, there's two kinds of repentance. He says, godly repentance leads to sorrow. Worldly repentance doesn't. He said, worldly repentance says, I want to go to heaven. Godly repentance says, I'm a sinner. And I really think a lot of people who claim to be Christians, or some people who claim to be Christians, have never gotten to that point. They've never gotten to that godly repentance to say, I'm a sinner. Now, I want you to notice something. When the thief on the cross, oh, sure, okay. So let's go to the Philippian jailer. And Paul says, he comes to Paul and he says, what's he say? What must I do to be saved? Does Paul tell him to repent? He doesn't have to, because he already has. See, he's already seen his sin. He's already to that point, and he says, I'm a sinner. He's on his knees. He's trembling. He already has a right attitude. So since he's already come to that point, what's Paul say? Right? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Right? So that's what you're going to have with the thief on the cross as well. He's already to that point. He's already penitent. Remember what he said? We deserve. Now, you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's just go ahead and look at it. By the way, when I was talking with my neighbor Rafa down the street, I asked him, he's kind of Buddhist. And I said, Rafa, why are you going to heaven? He says, well, I thought everybody went to heaven. Oh, okay. Yeah. So he saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. So when these guys start off, their attitude for both of them is terrible. Right? They're insulting Jesus Christ. Yeah. And then there's this change. Now, let's go back in this section of Luke. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right, one on the left. But Jesus was saying, notice how that? Jesus was saying. Okay? He was saying, it would seem to be numerous times. Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garment among themselves. So here's what's going on. These guys are listening to Jesus. And they're seeing Jesus. So they start off and they're cursing Jesus and they're making fun of him. And now this one of them, one of these guys, is now seeing this. And he's all of a sudden, he's convinced. You know, he's like, no, he is innocent. He's innocent. So watch what he does. And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, this chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Now there was also an inscription above him, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Why? Why is he abusing Jesus? What did Jesus ever do to him? You know, he's just an angry, bitter man, and he's just, you know, all of this. He's the tool of Satan, okay? But the other answered and rebuking him said, do you not even fear God since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Now, this is amazing, okay? So this guy, he's already repented. Now, here's what's amazing to me is that the thing that this thief is going to say to Jesus, I'm thinking somewhere along the line, he had to have listened to Jesus, okay? I'm thinking that he had to have listened to some of Jesus' teachings or people talking about Jesus or something like this, because what he's going to say doesn't fit with Old Testament theology. In the Old Testament, they didn't know that Messiah is God. They didn't have that clear. Remember when Peter rebuked Jesus, right? Messiah doesn't die. They didn't have this concept that Jesus is the judge of the whole world. So I see all of these people out on campuses and they're, you know, kill the Jews, death to the Jews, you know, whatever. And I'm thinking, don't you realize that a Jew will decide your eternal destiny? Is that really what you want to be doing? Okay. And, you know, he doesn't know this. He doesn't know that Messiah raises the dead. This isn't common knowledge. He didn't know all of this, but he picks it up. And he says, let's see. I have to stay with my notes. Okay, all right. So, before we get into what he's saying there, the thief on the cross should have gone to hell, so why did he go to heaven? Okay, the thief, you want to say it with me? The thief on the cross should have gone to hell. So why did he go to heaven? What would be the answer? Anybody care to say? What's the answer? Yeah, he called out to Jesus. He called out to Jesus for mercy. Yeah, he knew what he did what he knew to do. He called out to Jesus for mercy, right? That's what he did. So just going back to the hand, we've already worked with this some. Here's something interesting. Is that true?
Yes.
Right? That's a good thing to say to people. Well, that's good. You know, I'm glad you're a good person because only perfect people go to heaven. Okay? Only perfect people. That's where we get into Ephesians chapter 2 and talks of us as being sons of wrath, under the wrath of God. Okay? And then we look at his attitude. We look at the thief on the cross. What was his attitude towards sin? What did he say? So as you're talking, if you want to use the thief on the cross, you can walk through and say, do you see his attitude towards sin? You can talk about that. By the way, where's the prayer in the Bible that tells us what to say when we get saved?
Not there.
It isn't there. Isn't that amazing? There's some examples, right? This is a good prayer if it comes from faith. But it just isn't there. God just isn't concerned about the right words. He's concerned about the heart condition and what this person is doing. Right, yeah, save me today. Okay. So here's a lot of times. There's so many times I go out to talk to somebody in the moment, especially when if I'm dealing in Spanish, because your processor works just a little bit slower than it does in English. I don't translate ever, but just, you know, speaking another language, your process is just a little bit slower. And I'm just going out to people and like, I don't know what to say. So I'm at the gas station, I have to, you know, I'm there buying gas or whatever, and I'll just hand them a track. And I'll say this, you know, when I was 14, I was on my way to hell. And I knew it. And I was at a retreat, and, hold on. I'm not explaining it all. I had to say to somebody, you know, when I was 14, I was on my way to hell, but I called out to Jesus, and he forgave me all of my sin. And I'd like to give this to you to read. Very simple testimony. Very simple. Your testimony doesn't have to be complicated or long. It's just a very, very simple testimony. And that's what I do to people. What would you say? If you were to hand somebody a tract, what would you say? What would be something simple for you to say? Okay, what has God done for you? Okay, you're just sowing a seed. That's all you're doing. Remember, evangelism is a process. And all you're doing is you're participating in that process. Right. Okay, let's go on. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom, right? So he's turning to Jesus. That's what he's doing. He's going to Jesus on that, and he's that's what he's doing. He's saying, Jesus, remember me. Now think about this, guys. Jesus is right. So we're talking. This is around noon or before noon. Okay, the darkness hasn't come over the earth yet. That happens later. That happens probably now or whatever. So this isn't his first 3 hours when he says this. Here's Jesus. He's dying on a cross. He's been ripped to shreds. And the thief on the cross says, remember me when you come in your kingdom. What's he saying?
He believes in the kingdom.
He believes in the kingdom. He believes that Jesus is going to rise from the dead. He believes that Jesus is going to come back. He believes that Jesus has power to help him. So he's saying, Jesus, on that day when you come back, would you please, please just remember me? Okay? Now, as I'm writing these theology studies, one of the things I learned is how much I don't know. And it's just been so good for me to clarify things. And I am amazed that Jesus, all right? We always say, oh, worship the Lord, exalt the Lord, honor the Lord. It's like, I can't do anything else because I am so amazed at Jesus Christ. There's so many times when Jesus Christ, he opened up the Old Testament. We would never understand the Old Testament without Jesus Christ. So he came along and he said all these things. Listen, the thing that Jesus is going to say right now, nobody knew this, okay? So he says, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus says what? You'll be where? With me today in paradise. Now, paradise is used 3 times in the New Testament, and it is always heaven. Okay, I knew a man 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but I knew a man, and he went up to the third heaven. He went up to paradise. Okay, so it's interesting. So once again, Jesus is just, tremendous, such a perfect, perfect grasp of the Old Testament. I mean, he wrote it. Okay, so anyway, yeah. Okay, all right, okay. Could you do that? Could you do any of these memory aids? Could you talk to somebody? Could you just, you know, share the gospel? Talk about how wonderful Jesus is. If you ever go, Peter was a tremendous evangelist. You go read Acts chapter 10, and you see how Peter deals with Cornelius, and you'll find out he starts off, and he says, you've heard about Jesus of Nazareth, how he went about doing good and healing all of those who were oppressed by the devil. What's he doing? He's starting off with Jesus, absolutely. And then he's not going to talk about Cornelius being wicked or anything. He jumps right to Jesus, but wicked men nailed him to a cross. He rose from the dead. And then he says the gospel. Actually, Acts 10 is really, Peter was amazing. And he says, everyone who believes in him has forgiveness of sins. I think he says some more things. Boom, right then, that's when these guys get saved. All of them, and they start speaking in tongues. Peter was a great evangelist. Anyway, okay. You know, some of these things we've already looked through, the fact of him being gone, so let's just jump beyond some of that, okay? And obviously, they thought that the Messiah would be like David or Solomon. Was Jesus like that? No, he was a stumbling block. He was. He didn't fit the mold. You know, he didn't fit any of that. But this is what they didn't know these things. He'd be the judge of all mankind. They didn't know that. Okay. So I think we've already done this. Okay, let's look at more. Let's go on more. I was caught up to the third heaven as caught up into paradise. Okay. All right. So we've talked about three memory aids this morning, and I go over them for repetition so that we will remember. What's one of our memory aids? Hand. Okay. What's another one? What is it? Yeah, why are you going to heaven? If God said to you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say, right? We've got the hand, we've got that. And then another one would be thief in the cross. Yeah, I should have gone to hell. Should have gone to hell. And that is shocking to some people. That is shocking. I don't know if you ever think about this. I think about it. And that is, I go to bed. And I, once in a while, fairly often, I think, I've got friends in hell right now. And they have not slept. And they have been in torment. And I'm going to go to bed. And that's why I'm just so impressed. I say, I so thank God that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's it. It's like, I am so, so thankful. And what it is that we want to reach out to other people. Paul said, he said, I do all I can so the elect will be saved. Yeah, that's what he said. Just give me some more ideas here. Remember the thing about the granola bar or the Dove chocolate or something like that? Do you know how easy it is to walk into a store and to walk up to somebody with a candy bar or something like that in a track and give it to them? They love you, okay? And they like you. You know, I'm wanting to get some granola bars and just put something, you know, put a message on the granola bar, which I don't know, we might say, what is truth, or why are you going to heaven? I don't know. And then put the church website. And then what I would like to do is just put a video that answers those questions. So when they go to the website, boom, they'll have something there for the person who does, something like that. My brother-in-law does Christmas in the woods. And so he'll invite all of his neighbors every year. And they have Christmas out in the woods. Why you would do that in Wisconsin in December, I have no clue. You know, and he'll have a short gospel testimony or something like that. Pond, you know, and all that. They're just working with that. Here's something else we do when we have somebody over for supper, whether they're believers, unbelievers. We normally I'll print out a passage from the Bible, and I'll hand it out, and we'll just go around and say who's going to start, and then for example we say, okay, you explain John 1:1. So the mayor's wife, she did that, and she started. She all start, and so she's Catholic. And she explained John 1:1. Didn't have a clue what it was talking about. So what did I say? Thank you, Anamari. Thank you. Would anybody else like to share? And so then that's when Karen spoke up and explained John 1:1. You know? And we got done. And just, you know, I don't know what we do 10, 15 verses, you know, we got done, and the mayor, Jerry, he says, let's do that again. You know, let's just do it again. It's just looking for ways. How can I share Jesus? What can I do? What can I do? Anyway, just some ideas. So the thing is can you act like a thief who recognized who Jesus was and called out? Can you tell other people about Jesus? Because there are people around you who need to know. And you never know. You might go to somebody and you think, they're not interested. And then it finds out they are. And you've got an open door and you want to share the gospel. Amen? Amen. Bob, I'm shutting down early.
I looked at my clock.
Yeah.
I'm not preaching next week, but Chuck is. He is. So much extra time.
Hey, let's pray again. And then I understand that we'll have some time for questions and answers. Is that correct? Yeah, okay. Lord in heaven, there's nobody more interested in saving souls than you are. Because evangelism is near and dear. And we don't understand the sovereignty of God. We don't understand all of that. But we know that you tell us to be wise in the way we act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. And they're always supposed to be gracious and tasty. And so help us, God. Help us, Lord. Help us to reach to a world that is lost. Give us boldness. Give us strength. Open doors. Bring people to Christ. Thank you, God, for this time. May you bless each one of us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.